Today, both of our scripture readings are from a translation of the Bible in contemporary language called The Message by Eugene Peterson. First, a reading from the Hebrew scriptures, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people what God had said. Moses called together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. God came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 leaders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they didn't continue. It was a one-time event. Meanwhile, two others, Eldad and Medad, had stayed in the camp. They were listed as leaders, but they didn't leave camp to go to the tent. Still, the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young messenger ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' right-hand helper since his youth, said, "Moses, please stop them." But Moses said, "Are you jealous for me? Would that all God's people were prophets. Would that God would put God's own spirit on all of them." Our second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Typically a reading we hear each Pentecost Sunday. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then for the Feast of Pentecost, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. Immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make heads or tails of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story right. These people aren't drunk as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young ones will see visions, your old ones will dream dreams. When the time comes, I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever calls out for help to God will be saved." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, birthday church, welcome to Holy Spirit time. We are living in Holy Spirit time. We are living in Holy Spirit time. Time, as we most often think of it, is a human artificial construct. Useful and necessary, perhaps, yet very human and very artificial, just the same. Not unlike our concept of reality. Just exactly what is reality anyway? My favorite definition of reality is by Jane Wagner in the fabulous one-woman show she wrote for her partner Lily Tomlin called In Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. In the midst of one piercing, insightful, existential rambling, the one and only character of this show, Trudy, a bag lady, pronounces, "You know, reality is nothing but a collective hunch." Same goes for time, I think. A collective hunch. So what might it mean for me to declare that we are living in Holy Spirit time? Today is Pentecost, quite possibly my favorite day of all to preach. Yes, more than Easter. Yes, more than Christmas Eve. Pentecost, the day 50 days after Easter, Pentecost, literally penta, 50 in Greek, the day when we remember and celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit as it arrived in a rush like a mighty wind and a cacophony of languages to the 100 or 20 or souls gathered together in one place that day. I love to preach on Pentecost because this day of all days is a day to celebrate becoming and being church together. In the 50 days prior to our risen Christ appeared to those first disciples and followers, women and men, in groups of 2 and 3 and 11 and 12 and, well, occasionally a few more. But on that 50th day, the story goes, some 120 believers were gathered with the newly reconstituted 12 disciples all in one place, and suddenly a sound like the rush of a mighty wind and divided tongues as of fire engulfed and rested upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' promise was fulfilled. "I will not leave you orphaned," said Jesus. "I will not leave you alone. I am leaving. I will be gone. Crucified, resurrected, ascended." He said it over and over again to the disciples, even though they never got it. "Gone. I will be gone. Yet I promise," said Jesus, "to send you one who will walk with you, a companion, an advocate, a sustaining spirit that will never leave you again. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am the one, I am in the one who sent me, and you in me, and I in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by the one who sent me, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. If you love me," said Jesus, "you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the one who sent me to give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. You know this Spirit because she abides with you and will be in you." The Spirit of truth, God's Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus the Christ and sent by God, the source of all, the one who sent Jesus to show us a still more excellent way. Her arrival on that first Pentecost day constituted the church, the ever-living, ever-changing, ever-reconciling, ever-renewing body of the risen Christ in the world. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the church are simultaneous gifts of God. One is not possible without the other. The Holy Spirit was given to the community of believers gathered together, not to any one single individual. The Spirit comes so the church, the assembled people of God in Christ, can be church and become church together. Not just those assembled at the first Pentecost party, Not just those assembled as the worshiping community of East Congregational Church today, or Emmaus Seventh-day Adventist Church yesterday, or Boston Renewal Korean Presbyterian Church this afternoon. Not just those who have gone before us, not just those who are still yet to come, but all of us together, witnesses all, disciples all, are the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the body of the risen and ascended Christ in the world. We are living in Holy Spirit time, and we are not alone. Reach back with me, if you will, to the passage we heard moments ago from the book of Numbers. Moses, that great prophet of our faith and also the faith of our Jewish and Muslim brothers and sisters, Moses is at the end of his rope as a leader of his people. In some of the verses immediately preceding the ones we heard from the scripture read for us today, we encounter a very displeased and distraught Moses, a very angry God, and a people very literally fed up with a monotonous diet of nothing but manna. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a suckling child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors?'" Read Numbers, it's all in there. "Where am I to get meat to give all of these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone," said Moses, "for they are too heavy for me." And at that very point, that very near breaking point for Moses, for God, and for God's people, God tells Moses to gather 70 elders, known and recognized leaders, wisdom keepers from the people. Set them apart, but not above any of the others, so that God might give some of the spirit God had given Moses to those 70, so that they could share the burdens of leadership, and so that Moses would no longer be alone. So those 70 elders, plus at least two more, Eldad and Medad, whom we only know from this one story in the book of Numbers, they too receive a portion of the same spirit given to Moses. And Moses is no longer alone. But wait, there's more. When Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, implores Moses to stop Eldad and Medad from prophesying, Moses then makes a universal plea that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put God's own spirit on them. "Come, Holy Spirit, rest on each one, everyone, on all the Lord's people, each one and everyone gathered in your name everywhere. Restore us, save us, bless us, empower us, breathe into and through us so that we might witness to the wonder and power of your amazing grace, your barrier-breaking love, your life-giving justice, your world-mending and heart-mending peace, your promise to reconcile all creation, not simply the human family, but all creation unto yourself." The Holy Spirit was given and continues to be given so that the church, you and me, all of us, are never alone. The Spirit is given that we might believe in Jesus to do the same work that Jesus does, and even do greater work than that, because Jesus has returned to the one from whom he came. The Spirit was given and continues to be given to us so that we might believe and know that we are not alone, not alone in our fear, not alone in our love, not alone in our doubt, not alone in our faith, not alone in our addiction, not alone in our recovery, not alone in our leading, not alone in our following, not alone in our loneliness, not alone in our togetherness, not alone on our path toward consolidation, not alone in our work and witness to care for God's good creation, not alone in our ill health, not alone in our good health, not alone in our dying, and not alone in our living. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, was given and continues to be given to us today so that in our believing and in our living, we too receive power, courage, faith, and compassion to keep sharing that same spirit, drawing the circle of God's love ever wider. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. The lyrics of a song in our Sing Prayer and Praise books by Gordon Light that include that very line continue. God, the still point of the circle, round whom all creation turns. Nothing lost, but held forever in God's gracious arms. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamed before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. Poet, essayist, and Benedictine Order lay associate Kathleen Norris, in her book Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith, wrote of a kind of vision of all of us coming together, bearing our different wounds, offering different gifts. And these are Norris's words. The preachers, the prophets, the healers and discerners of spirits, those who can describe the faith and those who can only live it, those who speak in tongues and those who interpret, those who write and those who sing, those who have knowledge and those who are wise only in the sight of God, each of us poor and in need of love, yet rich in spirit, each of us speaking in the language we know and being understood. Pentecost. Indeed. End quote. We are living in Holy Spirit time, right here and right now. No one stands alone, now or ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.